afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hello, everybody. And welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I am Pat Francis.
You got that straight, Big Daddy. You are. And I'm Gary Lucy. And over there?
Matt Belknap.
That's right.
Let's talk about, we've been talking about Matt's look today.
Yeah.
He's got
I need a haircut.
Nah, it's, don't do it.
I don't think you should do it either. He's got like a Chris Isaacs thing happening.
If you've, I took a picture, I'm going to post it, but until then.
Oh, Jesus.
Go and look up a picture of Brad Pitt in the movie Johnny Suede.
Oh, yeah.
That is my hair idol, that look.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a sweet rockabilly look.
I mean, I don't know what you're going to do. What are you going to do?
Well, I honestly just want the sides and the back or what are driving me crazy. I don't care. I like this part of it. Mm-hmm. That's fine. It's weird in the back and too long. This is a grown out buzz cut. There's no haircut since I just buzzed the whole thing myself.
Well, don't get just the sides. Then you'll have a Miley Cyrus.
Let me see your right sideburn. Does it have a little point going through
it? Look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
902 on. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can work those.
I'm halfway between Brandon and Dylan.
you could work those Martin Chambers sideburns in there if you like.
Oh, right. From the Pretenders.
Little pointy things. I like it. I think it looks great.
Right.
But don't you think this ducktail, like this weird
no,
DA?
That's the best part.
I
that's awesome.
Hate that.
What's Elise think of it?
I don't know. She doesn't talk to me.
But
does your wife ever say, I think you need a haircut?
No.
No. You just let it ride.
She doesn't care what I do with my hair.
Okay.
She will complain about some facial hair if it's scratchy on her face, you know, like.
Or.
but not even really that, like, you know. That probably still irritates me more than her because it's itchy when you grow out of a beard, as
right.
You know, Gary.
Right? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Barry and Gary and Barry.
Yes.
Hi, Barry.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
What's up, Matt?
And Gary, why do you have a beard? Because you hate to shave or you like how it looks.
Yeah, and also
but
you know
you trim
when
it.
I trim it, but when you have like a rounder face, it could sort of like be like a it's like a Trump-loy jawline. You know, so it's like it like makes you look like you have some kind of a chin or something like that.
Well, I've never known you without a beard, so I think it looks great.
Oh, well, thank you,
Gary,
very much.
I'm sitting 5 feet from you, and I can tell you do have a chin.
Oh, okay.
I see it.
Yeah, you do.
Very
you
clearly.
What, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah,
I know
everyone can do that.
Yeah.
but see,
he just kind of made a Jabba the Hutt face. He kind of tucked his whole chin into his chest.
You're talking about the George Lucas, speaking of.
Right. Oh, yeah, with the
George
goiter.
Lucas, he has
a weird shape.
He has a cowboy's saddlebag under his head between his chin and his neck, and then he has this cheesy thin beard line as if that makes it all.
He must not be a vain person though, because obviously he could have some plastic surgery
right.
under there, and
maybe he's scared of knives or
well that's
well maybe they could do it with a lightsaber.
That's how he attracted that new fiance. He inflates that sack with air, and it's like a mating call.
Yeah, he does. It does look a little. Actually, it looks a little like what's the my geek knowledge is failing me, but. The weird person at Jabba's palace in Return of the Jedi with the brain wrapped around his...
Oh, yeah.
He also had that crazy chin and kind of looks like that.
That's weird. I wonder if when Jay-Z was engaged, if he said, this is my fiance, Beyonce. Think he ever said that?
It was a missed opportunity if he didn't.
I know, really.
There is a song. It's not his, but someone else. There's some other song that says, I need a fiance as cute as Beyonce.
Nice.
Nice.
Cheesy.
That'll be on our name check episode.
New.
It's a great idea for us.
New business, Gary?
New business for the 013. Our new style, we're at... Oh, Pat just spit his out. We're both chomping gum.
Put my gum on the floor.
Unprofessional.
Okay. I'm gonna take that out. But, I had some new business about, I just finished reading that new Bruce Springsteen biography called Bruce by Peter Ames Carlin. And, it's really good. And, I had no idea, like any rock bio, I love like the before they're famous part.
I had no idea he was from Jersey.
Yeah, that's right. I know a lot of stuff like that, but I had no idea how huge like some of his early bands were.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that steel mill. They would play like 4,000 people when they go
That's
down
pretty
to
great.
Virginia or something
and
like that.
And the Castles was one of his.
Oh yeah,
the
Castiles was like Castiles, his first like teen band, and then there was Child and Earth and Dr. Zoom and the Sonic Boom.
Boom. Yes,
but steel mill was like, you know, they had a offer from Bill Graham, but it was like a terrible offer, you know. But yeah, so it was almost, it could have been very different. But you know how we like to make fun of I never heard of steel mill, so I went and
listened to some
on the internet.
Okay.
I must have listened to 1, 2, 3 steel mill songs. And you know how we like to make fun of him nowadays because he has that southern accent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not a new thing. Like in his early days.
Oh, he used to have that?
Well, he had this, like nowadays it's like a Woody Guthrie fixation, yeah, or something, right? But way back in like 70, he had like an Allman Brothers fixation.
Ah.
And that's kind of what Steel Mill was about. So here's I won't tell you what the name of the song is, but yeah, go ahead and play
cool.
some of that.
Oh, we're going to hear it. That's excellent.
Let's hear some of this.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy duty.
What the fuck? This sounds like Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
This band did not have black members in the band.
What?
He sounds older here than he does now.
He does.
So I guess what happened was, like, he heard some Van Morrison and he just like threw over the sound and kind of went more into that jazzy sort of place that he went to. Yeah.
Wow, he was that was like someone put all of the sounds of the 60s into a blender.
Exactly,
like, here's some Janis Joplin and some Jimi Hendrix and just Zeppelin a little bit, even from, you know, like that was crazy.
It was the times. That's how it went. Yes.
What year was that?
1970. Maybe 70.
Oh, okay. 70, so yeah. Even a little before Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, so that unless anybody else has any new business.
I don't got any new business, except I love the topic that Gary has come up with
all
this
right.
week.
Should we just jump right into it with this?
Yeah, let's hear a little playing. Can you blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle?
Blow job. Blow job.
Here we go. That, of course, is our friend Flo Rida, and Matt was trying to suggest that was some kind of double entendre about oral sex, and that's the same thing he said about candy shop. The lollipop is his dick. Don't you get it?
Yeah, I mean he's not about
candy
job.
Shop was remarkably subtle compared to this song.
I think it's just about what he's going to teach her. He's going to lend her the whistle.
Well, that's what I tell my daughter when I play that, because I don't want her to know what's going on.
He also told me that You've Got a Friend by Carole King was about blowjobs. I don't know what's going on.
My only regret is that he doesn't make a Lauren Bacall reference in this song.
Oh,
I feel
boy.
Like it was so ripe
it
for
was
it.
So
or
ripe.
Even a sample, you know? Like, you know how to whistle, don't you? Just put your lips together and blow.
It is a missed opportunity. Like Beyonce, so, Beyonce.
So, Gary, tell us what the topic is.
It's songs with whistling in them.
Yeah.
We're living in a golden age of whistling. There's like it's the new rage. Like
now, is this strictly human lip whistling, or can you have a, you know, because if you open it up to whistles like the like a police whistle or whatever, then
I just went with a human.
We went human whistling because that's the moment when like that the pumped up kicks and the moves like Jagger and just so many songs these days. It's everyone's got to have a whistle part in it.
And when Gary sent me the email about this, I read it and I'm like, oh, that's insane. I don't have any songs with whistling, so it was really you know. Then I just really had to start thinking about it, and then I was like, oh yeah, I have 10. I've easily had 10.
Sometimes it just kind of blends in so perfectly you don't even think about it. about it. And well, it's, other times, it's like a guitar solo in the middle of the song.
Yep, and you can't really iTunes search it. Yeah, you just
no, you can't. You just yeah. get, you have to either recall it or ask other people. Hey, you know any songs with whistling? No.
Well, why don't you get us started? What do you got?
Oh, okay. I have a song. It's from 1978, and it actually starts right in with whistling.
Oh, nice.
This is a little Barry Manilow.
Oh. Nice.
Listen to that 70s hiss.
Yeah,
I know. This is a good song if you're making like a video of old family photos.
Yeah.
This is a good one.
Oh, that is good.
That's good.
Now, do you like that song?
I do like that song.
Because it is kind of, I don't like Barry Manilow, but that is kind of an undeniable melody.
Yeah.
He writes the songs that make the whole world sing. What are you talking about?
Except I write the song. He didn't write that song.
I write
the songs, which is weird.
It's a little trivia for you that everyone already knows.
Write it down.
I put him on a list of like dream guests to have on. I heard him on Fresh Air once, and he was really fascinating and really kind of like aware of who he is and like really like hip. Like he was really into cool bands and stuff.
Huh.
So
that's interesting.
Know, like he was really. I've been listening to a lot of Groove Armada.
Getting into dubstep lately.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. He did say that. Yeah, totally.
I've told this story a million times, Gary. Maybe you don't know this story.
Oh, detail.
He played a benefit at the
for Mr. Kite.
Yes, for Mr. Kite at Royce Hall.
Uh-huh.
It was to raise money for Jason Alexander. I can't even
hair talk. Transplant.
Alexander's theater company.
Oh, dear. Okay.
What if that would have been what it was for? And. Halfway through, they stopped and he answered. He took some questions from the audience, and Alexander, you know, ran around with the mic, and and this one woman, I was up top, and this woman was like four rows behind me, and her question to Barry was, "I've seen you like 45 times, and I just want to know how do you get to sit down there?" And she pointed like to the first couple rows.
Yeah,
and Barry Manilow looks. He goes, "Is there anyone in these seats here? There's it. Come on down."
Oh,
and
nice.
She ran down like it was the Price is Right.
her boobs came out of her tube top.
Well, what a stupid question. Like, the answer is money.
Money,
you fucking
yeah.
dumb asshole.
Yeah. Well, maybe she's tried. Like, she was an older woman, so maybe she always just tried to get tickets and doesn't know how to get good tickets.
This yeah, it is. It's yeah. true. I mean, I don't know about Barry Manilow shows, but it is a little bit mysterious how, like, I could never figure out how you get, like, in the pit at a show.
I know.
I mean, some shows you can just go right in, but like at a bigger venue.
You're like the Staples Center. How do you get
right.
in the first 10
like,
rows?
That's not available to the public, really.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's all these internet, like secret clubs and like early
codes, passcodes.
Yeah, all that shit.
It's all a scam.
Yeah, fuck this shit.
Don't go to concerts is what we're saying, people.
Don't go to concerts.
Because you can't get
no, you got to get stay in the clubs. Go to see the next great band.
Yes.
Don't worry about who's big now or who's been big in the past. You got to get on the cutting edge.
Or get involved in show business where industry sleazebag will
buy
some good tickets.
Right.
That's right. When I get free tickets for stuff, the seats are always amazing. And
yes.
I'm like, someone paid a lot of money and I'm here. And
I only kind of wanted to come.
I know.
And I just out of courtesy.
I know.
That's like how, you know, celebrities, they get those gift bags worth thousands of dollars.
Right.
But they're rich. They don't need gift bags.
The people
who need gift bags are like the peons.
Right.
And some of the nicer celebrities will give it to their assistants probably. But.
Or just like how Mitt Romney has that free McDonald's for life card. Did you hear about
he
that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like his dad was friends with Ray Kroc and he gave him like, like some laminated card and Mitt like stole it out of his dad's drawer and he still uses it.
What?
It was in the news like last August.
Piece of shit.
Wow.
Dude is a billionaire.
The rich
isn't he?
Kid richer. Yeah.
I don't want to pay for my filet of fish.
I think you'll see that McFlurry is free. we couldn't have a whistle show without having the king of indie rock whistling, this guy Andrew Bird. And it's a very Dickensian name because, like, if he had a press conference and said, "I'm actually half bird," you would say, yes, that makes sense. If he took off his pants and had bird legs, you would say, because he seems like this fool can't stop whistling. Every single one of his songs has some. The one I picked is called Fits and Dizzy Spells from his 2009 album Noble Beast. And Matt, maybe pull this up to about 120 or so when we hear the whistly part. And this is going to be like. When the kids go to the orchestra, listen to how the whistles they kind of have like this aerial dogfight with like a violin and a oboe or something, and it's very exciting. Andrew Bird.
Oh, I like that.
I like how that one came dive bombing in there. Andrew Bird fits in Dizzy Spells.
It's pretty cool.
That is nice. It's a lot of whistling. A
lot of whistling. Oh, yeah.
Guy must have, he keeps hydrated, I guess.
Yeah, very hydrated. A lot of lip balms.
What I've realized with my daughter is that it is crazy hard to explain to someone how to whistle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because she wants to, but she just goes, hoo, 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 hoo. It's like, I don't know how to explain it.
I can't really even whistle. Can you whistle?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Let me hear you go.
I can do lots of whistle. I can do the tooth whistle, which is...
Can you do a super loud southern thing?
Regular whistle.
Finger whistle.
And then I can do the...
What?
The coach whistle, which is...
What?
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I learned that from
can you teach me how to do the coach whistle?
Can you teach Pat how to whistle,
actually
baby?
That's easier to explain than just a regular whistle. Oh, and then what about inward whistle?
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
This is me. I'm not good at it. What about you, Gary?
Andrew, I just got the... And maybe a little... And some nose hair. But
I'll give you a quick lesson in the coach whistle. Take your four fingers, your index and middle fingers.
Got it.
Okay.
And then overlap the one side on the other side, like the middle fingers on your...
We're all doing it right now.
On your fingernail.
Okay. That creates the aperture there.
It's got to be overlapped a little like that.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So like that. And then you, with your tongue, you touch your tongue to the roof of your mouth like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use your fingers and you push your tongue downward.
Mm.
And then you create a seal with the outside of your mouth, the sides of your mouth.
No, it's not working for me.
And then you just have to kind of modulate the angle of your fingers.
Wow.
I can't do it.
That's way more involved than I thought it was.
How did you learn that?
I said, in 6th or 7th grade, my friend's dad taught my friend and I.
Across the holler when he grew up in the Blue Hills.
That's right. Yeah. But the one I can't do is like the Phil Jackson real coach was with it. Just finger and thumb, which is...
That's just showing off. Just buy a whistle. Yeah. All right.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's pretty cool. Well, right, that's our show.
Which of these whistles was employed on your next?
I'm not sure. I think this is just a regular whistle.
This is a great one.
This is let's hear how the ladies
do it. Are
you
going to cue this or?
All those songs are queued up.
Oh, okay.
You have the whole song in there, but if you go to your options and put the start back to zero,
okay.
See what I mean?
Wait a minute. Hold on. What? Hold on. I don't remember I moved them, so.
Uh-oh. It should still do it.
Let's see. Nope.
No?
No.
Son of...
So just call it out.
I don't know what the time is.
You son of a bitch. What do you mean you don't know the time?
I don't have the time written down.
Changed it. This is a disaster we can never
recover from.
Are you
sure you can't just jump right into it?
Yeah, I checked. Look, if I started to go...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's going to stink.
Let's just find it.
I'm going to say it happens about a minute 20 in.
Oh, this is terrible.
We're going to cut this part.
None of mine are going to be queued up now.
This is it.
Hold on a second. Maybe I can...
Here it is. It's after the guitar, right?
Oh, no, here, I got it. Stop. 154.
Ah. Yeah, I was about to get to it. I was at 146.
154. I do have the time still. I'm cool.
Okay, so re-intro this.
Okay, well, let's just see how the ladies do it, Matt.
All right. That's your intro? That's the whole thing?
That's what I said. That's what I said the first time.
We can do it one more time.
Okay. All right, so we've heard some guys whistle. Now let's hear how the ladies whistle.
Good one.
Sounds like that.
There's some serious effects on this, though.
Yes, there are.
This is not a natural human whistle. Slight feet up the street, bend your back, shift your arm, then you pull it back. Let's harden. Hold on, I gotta write this down. Strike a pose on a Cadillac. So I need a Cadillac.
This is almost like you telling us, explaining how to whistle.
It's about as complicated. I didn't remember how complicated the Egyptian was. I thought you just like put your hand in front of your face like an idiot.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle choice.
Wait, did that video have like weird footage of other people doing the...
Yeah, it had Muammar Gaddafi. But then it had like people on the street. Yeah.
Like candids almost, like, or whatever you want to call that. That was embarrassing.
Very much so.
I forget which member actually does the whistling in the video. I think it's the drummer.
I was going to say, do you think it was one of the Bengals on the record, or do you think they brought in somebody?
A professional whistler. Yeah.
They probably brought in a professional whistler, but then in the video, one of them pretended like they were doing it.
Yeah, maybe it was...
It is an interesting... It's a skill. It's an instrument, you know?
Yeah.
Not everyone can play the whistle.
That's right.
True.
You can bring in a slide whistle and cheat it, but come on.
Mm. Come on.
Don't be a jerk.
Or you could sample a good whistle.
Oh, is that a lead into your
next
song?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
This is one of the best albums of the 90s. No one can dispute it. Don't dispute it!
I won't.
Beck's Odelay. This is like the sixth or seventh single off of it. And I was thinking, where did he sample this? Is that Roger Miller or something like that? So I looked it up, and it's by the most hilariously named jazz composer of all time, Dick Hyman. In the Mood for Moog or something like that album. But this song is called Sissy Neck, and it starts right off with the whistling. Ain't getting no bigger.
That is some Dust Brothers production.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, boy, they're artists. I wonder what they're working on these days.
I don't know. I don't know if they are they still together. I know they do stuff separately too now.
Oh no,
John King. They
didn't break up, did they?
I don't know. Oh. The dust is the dust blown away.
Settled on the Dust Brothers.
I guess so. Oh well, that's the way it goes. Oh well, Pat, cheer us up.
Can I cheer us up? I got a time for you, Matt. This is going to be at 21 seconds in.
Okay.
Now this guy, again, if you ran into this guy in person, this guy would be an asshole. I assume he'd be an asshole. He played at the 12-12-12 concert. When they would take a group photo, he was the one that looked like Orson Welles.
He really looks like, no one's going to get this unless you watch Around the Horn, but he looks like LA Times sports writer Bill Plaschke.
Bill Plaschke. Nice.
There's just some rock stars where you go, man, that light guy looks great for being in his 60s. And then there's guys and you go, hey, that guy's holding up pretty. And then you go to like this guy and you go, what the fuck happened to this guy?
It was never attractive, but when he was young, at least he had that kind of cool.
He had like a tough,
Streets of New York
type thing.
Yeah.
And now he's just, you know. And unfortunately, he's a piano player, so he's not moving around stage that much, sitting there.
Maybe that's what's the problem.
That could
he's
be
not
the problem.
Getting his aerobic exercise.
He needs to get a keytar.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
But this is Billy Joel with the title track from The Stranger. Take it at 21 seconds.
Guy Noir. Prairie Home Companion, anybody?
This is a very like smoky street lamp, and here comes Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
It's a long whistle too.
Right.
Oh, here are the 70s.
Funky.
There's there we go.
I was wondering where the 70s went. Here they are.
Get back, honky cat.
Did you see Blaine Kopach's tweet about, have you ever noticed how you never see Billy Joel and Piano Man in the same place? The best.
That is the greatest.
But if you're not following him, my God.
Get on
so
it.
So funny.
When you... when I read a tweet like that, and I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that? It's right in front of your face.
He thinks of it. He's good.
Yeah, he is funny.
So, Pat, you've heard of Dale Earnhardt.
He's a race car driver?
I've dearly departed. Race car legend.
Okay. Is that guy still alive?
Big number three. No, he's gone.
I know. I'm a guy.
I'm the
co-host who doesn't listen. What's it? So, yeah, I think I just saw he just raced last week, right?
No. He's quite dead.
Oh, okay.
But we miss him. And you heard of Dale Earnhardt Jr., his son.
Right? Yes, yeah.
But have you ever heard?
He's not around, right?
No, he's still with us.
He is, okay.
Still very much with us.
He's actually in a commercial right now.
Fantastic.
Staples, what is that?
He's directing something. I forget what the deal is, anyway.
Sure.
But have you ever heard of Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr.?
No.
Oh, man, they're a happening indie duo out of Detroit. And this song is amazing. It sounds like some kind of McCartney, like, White Album outtake or something like that. It's called Simple Girl. And it just started at the beginning here on Rock Salad. Dale Earnhardt Jr.
She's a simple girl. She's governed by simple pleasures. She won't ever let you meet her family, but she'll show you pictures. Da da da.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It is nice. And you called it exactly right. It does sound like a White Album
absolutely.
Tune. And so there's no relationship to the Earnhardts in this band.
Not at all.
It's just the name of their band.
Any relation to Carl's Jr. Jr.?
No relation to him. They do actually wear like racing jumpsuits.
Oh, nice.
On stage. And, I guess Dale Jr. has like heard of him and he likes him and everything and mm-hmm. has given him their blessing. But yeah, why not the Dale the Third or something?
Did they say, we don't need your
blessing? We don't need your blessing.
Yes, that's okay.
Perfectly all set without you.
But thanks.
Your name is in the public domain, and we will...
we'll take
that reminds me, I don't know if I'm allowed to even say this, but...
Ooh, what?
Do you know who Fritz Zwicky is?
No.
I think he was a... I want to say he was like a psychologist or some kind of scientist. No, I'm sorry. He was like a... particle physicist or something in the early half of the 20th century.
That Fritz Zwicky.
But he also apparently, I don't know, his name was dragged through the mud over some sort of Nazi fascist, I don't really know the story at all. All I know is there's someone on my message board, a specialthing.com, whose screen name is Fritz Zwicky.
Oh.
And I never knew what that meant. I was like, okay, whatever. Yeah. And then I get an email the other day and this one was like, I am the daughter of the late Fritz Zwicky, and I am requesting that you remove that name. That's someone is posing as my father. So I looked it up, obviously, pretty briefly, because I still don't know the story about the real Fritz, but he's not alive anymore.
Yeah.
His name is in the public domain. If someone's on a message board and their name is Albert Einstein, not illegal, right?
Yeah.
So I wrote back and I was like, it's a comedy message board and people take screen names from pop culture or whatever. And, I don't think this is. And then I never heard back.
Huh.
It's very strange.
I wonder what's, now I got to look it up and find out what he did.
All right. Got a lot of whistling, Gary. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is it's pretty cool. I don't know if I would pick that for my band name or not. But that's all right. I'd be afraid that if you did that then there'd be repercussions. Percussions?
I just told a really long and boring story about how there aren't repercussions. It's public domain.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Your name's public domain?
Kind of. I mean, if you're a celebrity...
Can I call my band Matt Belknap's Pussy?
I don't know why you wouldn't.
We open
it's
also
that's the weird thing about names is it's not necessarily just your name. Like unless
true.
It's very unique and distinctive. Like most people, there are other Matt Belknaps in the world.
Could I call my band Son of Aerosmith?
Oh,
no, because Aerosmith isn't a person's name.
Okay, Okay, I get you. I don't know if I'm
We'll go over the whole thing.
After the show, I need some
Maybe we'll do a special diagram. Episode.
Get out the dry erase board.
Rock solid legal studies.
I've learned how to whistle, and now I'm going to learn this. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to play. Let's play. I'm going to do a twofer right now because I'll just play. These are both bands that you would call hard rock or heavy metal. And who thought that they would have whistling?
Yeah.
The first one.
This is the first song I thought of on this topic.
I actually did too, and you can just play it right from the top.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Guns N' Roses. Nice, yeah.
It's not a contest, Gary.
Let me say Guns N' Roses.
Do I see Guns N' Roses? Top
no,
answer.
I'm sorry. It's GNR.
GNR lies.
Axl Rose is a good whistler.
Yeah, he can whistle. I mean, I don't know if he can anymore because of all the plastic surgery, but in 89, he could whistle his ass
off. He actually had his face deform. I can't even tell.
Permanent whistle.
Permanent whistle face.
Permanent whistle face.
That would be a good name for a band. Permanent whistle face.
Permanent whistle face.
That's more of an album title. Maybe just whistle face. Actually, whistle face sounds like someone who could be in Guns N' Roses in 2012.
Yes, you're right. Buckethead. Next whistle face. All right.
I love this song. Oh, my God.
This is a good song.
Gets me right in the heart. Because I was in 8th grade when it came out, so.
And you were, like, really impatient.
Yeah, I was so impatient. I was like, you know, I should probably wait. I do actually remember listening to the song over and over again on a spring vacation because I was missing my girl.
Oh, nice.
Who was your girl at that point, Matt? Can you tell us?
Katie Lloyd.
What happened to Katie Lloyd?
Did she know it? Was she
first love of my life. Oh. We were. She was, but it took me like 3 years to get this girl. It was crazy. I liked her from 5th grade to 8th grade, and then we finally dated.
Wasn't that great patience. Though? When you finally
talk about patience. Patience, yeah, right? Seriously.
Man, when you're trying to get that girl, and you finally get her, though, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say to that. I mean, when you're right, you're right, Pat.
Okay, then now we got a couple of...
Wait, can we skip ahead to the other... Let's see if I can find it.
The other hard rock...
No.
What are you doing?
There's more whistling in Patience. Here it comes. Oh, no, wait. Where is it?
I don't know.
There's like a whistle break in that song. There's whistling at the beginning, and then there's a whistle
break.
Stops down for more whistling.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway,
all right.
Is the next whistling in German?
Oh, it is in German.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Was this on your list?
No. Well, no. I just thought about it, but I'm going to translate it if anybody needs it.
All right.
I'll do the English whistling.
This is some German whistling from the Scorpions.
Is this at the top?
I read at the top. Yeah, this is at the top.
Oh, yeah. Right. There it is.
This is Wind of Change. Wow, I am a mumble mouth today.
So he's right there. He's saying "Ich bin ein Berliner" in whistle. I'm a jelly donut.
I'm a jelly donut. Follow the Moskwa down
to Gonky Park. Listening to the wind. Laugh all you want, but this is a great song too.
Yeah.
Summer night. These guys barely speak English.
And was this recorded before the Berlin Wall came down?
I think it was...
Or was it right after?
I think it was right after that.
I would guess it's right before, but I'm not sure.
It was right in that pocket of time.
It definitely captured the mood of the day.
Yeah. I believe they might
have... Or zeitgeist.
Remember there was that concert when the wall fell on top of the wall.
On top of David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff famously played, and everyone thought it was funny, but he's humongous there, obviously. So
This was released in 1990.
And that's when the wall came down, too, so I wonder if it's... I think.
And what was the other song around that time that was kind of about that?
Walls Came Down by...
Oh, Pink Floyd, The Wall. That's what I was thinking of.
No, that was 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
All right. There's some of your hard rockers.
Nice.
I like them both.
Whistling.
All right. We're going to pump it up here with some classic alternative. You know, the Meat Puppets on their classic second album, Meat Puppets 2, had a song called The Whistling Song. But we're not going to hear that.
Oh, what?
We're going to
fake out.
Fake out. We're going to jump ahead to their great third album, Up on the Sun, from 85. First played from the start with, here's some, like, listen to this acoustic guitar wankery. That's nice. Okay, now skip ahead to about a minute in.
Sounds like Graceland.
Yeah,
like
totally. Stuff. And then they get into some whistling, Jack. Let me hear this. This is called Maiden's Milk, by the way. Sounds like the Kirkwood brothers, like they didn't really go over it beforehand, like you know what we're supposed to whistle here, right? So that it's like slightly different or something, but it kind of harmonizes.
Pretty crazy.
And it seems like people's whistling range is very simple. Like it's not like vocal range. It seems like everyone's kind of in the same.
Yeah, like there's no one that's just, oh, that guy's the most amazing whistler.
Then there's some of those guys like on the internet or something like that. But
that guy's whistle is powerful.
Yeah. He's got 8 octaves.
That guy's not, he's not lost anything on his whistling in all these years.
It's amazing.
Gary, earlier you played the Dale Earnhardt.
Yes.
Juniors.
Right.
And you said that they sounded a lot like the White Album.
Yeah.
So this gentleman participated in the White Album.
Ooh.
His name's John Lennon.
I'm aware.
And this is a song called Jealous Guy. Oh, and we're going to jump to 1:59.
Nice. Now, this is some good whistling.
I'm just a jealous guy.
Some accomplished whistlers.
Yeah. And he's jealous because all of his friends' wives don't have to come into the studio and sit on the piano when they play.
You're so lucky.
Mate.
Your
girl has to come in here. Scream and yell.
Now, you give Yoko...
That's not a very good accent.
Not a very good...
That's no?
Not quite right. Yeah, that sounds more London. Like, that sounds more like John
I
Rotten.
Don't do voices.
You needed more Northern. No, that's more McCartney.
It is. What else?
Did you hear that?
I'm John Lennon.
That's not bad.
I'm John Lennon.
Did you recognize that Yoko song in This Is 40? Like at the beginning, that I'm Your Angel song?
I didn't, but then I got the soundtrack to review.
That's a good soundtrack.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh.
That's a good song.
I know. I don't like
you
it.
You don't like it.
Because she sings in her Betty Boop voice.
What? You don't think that's sexy?
Not from her.
Okay.
Do not like her. Her and I have had some trouble. All right. Your turn, Gary. We're doing a lot. We're chatty today. More chat, less rock.
Yeah. I'll try to get us back on the rock train.
That's not your fault.
Now,
it's my fault.
No, it's not. It's no one's fault.
I told that story.
No, we're all
Fritz
chatty
Zwicky.
Today.
No, I didn't need to bring
we
Fritz
are all
Zwicky
chatty
into this.
Today.
Now, Pat, you're familiar with Bon Jovi.
And you're talking John Bon Jovi solo or the band Bon Jovi?
Bon Jovi?
The band Bon Jovi. And you're familiar with the band...
I'm familiar with the band Bon Jovi.
You're familiar with the band Van Halen.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. But what about... Have you ever heard of the band Oberhofer?
No.
This band had like crazy amounts of buzz last spring. And Steve Lillywhite produced their album. And
they're on all the
late night shows and everything. Oberhofer, named after the leader's last name. But then they just kind of went into the ether. But they were pretty cool. If you want to go to about 2:15 on this song, this is called Away From You. We'll hear the whistling and then we'll hear the chorus right after that. Oberhofer on Rock Solid.
Ooh, Take On Me by A-ha.
Yeah, Take On Me, yeah.
Oh,
pretty good, right? It's like lo-fi Coldplay or something like that.
Yeah,
it's very nice. Yeah, I like that a lot.
That's from their debut album, Time Capsule 2, which is confusing.
<That's,
Yeah. laughs> Why would you call it that?
You think the Earnhardt Band would use that?
Exactly. Yeah. Hipsters. What are you going to do?
I'm going to stay for my next pick. I'm going to stay with another Brit, and from the album Station to Station.
Oh, good.
This is David. It's Bowie, right? It's not Bowie. It's not Bowie. It's Bowie. And this is Golden Years. Mm-hmm. And Matt, you can jump that in at about 2:57.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
It's very subtle whistling. It's almost like he's walking out of the studio.
See you later.
See ya.
Good sesh.
I've laid down my tracks. That's it. It's very much of an outro.
I think Lennon was hanging around the studio, or that was more like Young Americans' time, probably.
I think when Lennon was hanging out in the studio, they were actually whistling was a blowjob.
Oh, right.
I think that was their experimental phase when Iggy and Lou Reed and all those guys would get naked and in a pile. Iggy wouldn't get naked; he was already naked.
He was already naked, but full body makeup. I'm like a lizard.
Someone told me that when the Stooges played the Palladium. Just like last year, that Iggy did the last song naked.
Oh, good.
And I said, you mean he had like his underwear on? They go, no, he was full on naked. I'm like, all right.
Nice.
I guess.
Good for him. all right. I applaud.
Hey, 60-year-old naked man with abs.
I understand he's pretty equipped too.
Then why not?
He had that song where he quotes some girl saying, Iggy, you've got a biggie. I forget what song that was. American Graffiti or something like that. American Crime. Anyway, any chance I get to squeeze in the new Pornographers, you know I'm gonna.
Yeah.
So from about 30 seconds, this is Crash Years from their most recent album, Together.
I wouldn't have thought of this, but that's a good one.
There you have it. Love that deep cello.
Yeah.
And the wah, wah, wah.
Rocking the cello.
Nice. What do you got, Pat?
I've got another Beatle related song. This is by the Beatles.
It is tangential to their careers.
This is from Let It Be. We're going to jump in at way down the line at 2:55.
Oh,
this is a song called Two of Us.
Yes.
We're on our way.
Going home. You better believe it.
Boy, the way that came in, I just thought it was Gary whistling. Honestly, it was
it's really back there in the mix. They didn't have a good producer.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really held them back.
Yeah, come on, Phil Spector. Where's the wall of whistling?
I was I was so into the Beatles, just worshipped them like from about seventh grade, but I would never like listen to the White Album because it was like a favorite book that you didn't want to end.
Right.
Because I knew like, oh, this is it. So I would, I'd hear Let It Be on the radio or whatever, Long Winding Road. But I would never listen to Let It Be until like, maybe I was like 24 or something like that. And I finally heard it all the way through and I heard Two of Us and this is the greatest. I had to listen to like 20 times a day. That's the greatest song. It seems like it would be possible, like, oh, listen to those pals singing about being friends. Maybe they'll stay together. But they didn't stay together.
But they didn't, no.
Just like my parents. Sorry. That was good. My last song is what I think kicked off this whistling craze that we've been experiencing in the late zeros and early aughts of the 21st century. It's Peter Bjorn and John, Young Folks on Rock Solid.
Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah.
You know this one. This is whistly like hell.
That's a good drum sound.
Yeah.
You got a shaker there?
Shaker makes everything better, huh?
Yeah.
I love a shaker.
And I think that song was a classic case of like, oh, right, we'll put the, I think they're like Scandinavian, we'll put the keyboard here later, but right now we'll just a whistle as a placeholder. Yump and yimmy, it sounds good. They just saved it.
Now, was that Peter, Bjorn, or John whistling?
I think that was John Lennon was on that session.
Oh, wow.
He came back.
He was in a naked pile with yeah, Peter, Bjorn, and John.
Unpiled and came out.
I got two more solo artists to close it out with, and then Matt, you have a whistling song, right?
I do.
Okay, this is this next gentleman is named Peter Gabriel, and his first four albums are also named Peter Gabriel.
Yes,
and this is from his third album called Peter Gabriel,
right?
And let's jump this in at 44 seconds.
Adolf builds a bonfire, and Rico plays with it.
Kissing baboons.
And
now was that was from Peter Gabriel Jr. Jr.?
the third.
Now, what are they saying on the chorus? They say, I always think it sounds like, she's so functional.
I thought it was, she's so popular.
She's so popular?
Well, let's find out.
There's no way of knowing.
Well, no, I can find that out.
I heard Red Rain on the radio the other day, and I was just thinking about, like, is this guy for real? Is he, like, super artsy and amazing, or is he the sledgehammer guy? Like, I can't decide. I can't figure it out. I don't know anything about him, so I'm asking.
I think he's the artsy-fartsy guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that when he was in Genesis, he would come out dressed as a sunflower, and the rest of the band was like, dude, what the? We didn't talk about this.
Yeah. I think sledgehammer was just probably him saying, look how I have a sense of humor, too, but I'm serious.
Yeah. That's the gig. Sometimes those, like, super integrity dudes go like, I can do it ironically, and then in the back of their head, they're like, I need some fucking money. Here we go. And then when they pull it off, it's infuriating. It's like, for the rest of the world, it's like, I've been slaving away trying to write a pop album. You come in here with your bullshit. You act like you don't even care, and then you nail it.
But then,
damn
like,
you.
Shock the Monkey, like, that's pretty, that's about, like, masturbation, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard that. But I don't know. I masturbated to it to see if it was true.
If it works, like, yeah, that's,
and I don't know.
All right.
The results were inconclusive.
It needs further study.
Yeah, this is, the lyrics is,
it's like in French or something.
Yeah, it's, J-E-U-X. What's that?
Je.
S-A-N-S. Sons.
Sons.
And then Frontiers.
Game without,
Games without,
so that's what she's,
Games what's, without Frontiers.
So he's not even saying she's so popular.
Yes.
Okay.
See, it
see
is,
that guy is artsy.
She's so functional. I'm just going to put that down.
Okay. I'm going to put she's so popular.
Okay.
That's what I sing in the car. Okay. This is, let me tell you about this guy. If you met this guy in person,
he's a dick.
Absolutely.
Also, doesn't look good anymore, but probably never did.
And this guy's about 5 foot tall.
Okay.
And he's in one of the most popular duos of all time. But this song we're going to drop in, I don't even have to say what this song is. We're going to drop it in at 1 minute and 6 seconds, and you'll know. You'll know it.
I see me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Whistling. I never noticed that whoop, whoop
yep
thing. What the hell is that?
I don't know what that was.
Some kind of percussion instrument, you think?
He hit his foot
on Garfunkel's throat. he just gave a series of judo chops toward Garfunkel's neck.
That was one of those weird, Ladysmith Black Mambaza instruments that he was so fond of.
He's playing the Joaquimby shells.
Yeah.
Let me read you something quick. It just popped into my head since we talked about This Is 40.
Yeah.
Did you see that, Matt?
I haven't seen it.
And Paul Simon posted this on his website. It was also on his Twitter and his Facebook. He put a message from Paul. This is from December 21st.
Oh, right.
I just saw This Is 40, period.
Yeah.
Funny, period.
Yeah.
But joke about Art Garfunkel was not, period. He was the great singer of Simon and Garfunkel and a gifted record producer. Nothing laughable about his talent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Weird that he felt the need to defend it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really thought that.
I think in the movie they say it's all about Paul being the brains and Garfunkel being like not anything. Mm. And I think he must have said.
All right, well, that's fair enough.
Each one thinks they're the Garfunkel in the marriage. And,
yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's so it's in a way like he's coming to his defense. Got his back, but in another way he's saying like, we all know I'm the good one, but I'm here to
there's always an edge of condescension.
Yeah. Also
it's a bit of a Fritz Zwicky situation if you ask me. Like he has
a sticky Fritz Zwicky.
Yes. Jimmy Pardo of Never Not Funny and Mike Schmidt of The 40-Year-Old Boy wanted me to play Jungle Love. Because it has a whistle at the beginning.
Oh, with like one of those, like a coach whistle.
I can't whistle. So. And I was like, I just didn't feel like it was enough of a whistle compared to the other whistles I put in. So I didn't play it.
Oh.
But if you want to hear it,
go
listen to Jungle
Love. Just hearing that, a song that I love that I forgot there was a whistle in, and Julio, like that it just makes me realize there's tons of songs. Whistling.
Yeah,
and you don't even think about it.
No, you don't.
Please let us know what whistle songs we left out. Call our number, 330-8180 Rocks.
81 Rocks.
We're not going to have any messages this time. We're a little backed up on the messages, but we're going to play a shit. We're going to have an all message show.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that would be all right. That'd be fun.
There's like bonus. So many. Because like over the holidays, we kind of got distracted by family and other things. So
it'll be good to like catch up on some of those songs and stuff. Yeah.
Stupid family distracting us from our whistling songs.
So call and let us know about that or anything else you want to talk about. Keep it to about 30 seconds or less.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
And be pithy. Say your name.
Don't even leave a message. Just whistle.
Just whistle, baby.
Oh, please don't tell them to do that. this is my play out, my feeble contribution. I feel like I wanted to contribute something better than this, but this is a good song. I don't have any connection to it. It's just something I thought of as we were doing the show. This is a song from a movie called Twisted Nerve, but I think everyone, including me, knows it as a song from a movie called Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yes.
It's Bernard Herrmann who scored Twisted Nerve, and Quentin Tarantino co-opted it, as he does everything. This is Twisted Nerve.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks,
Matt. Whistle at us on Twitter.
Whistle at you later, guys.